Amen. Brother Throw and I, we've been out fishing on boats several times. And sometimes you don't always anchor it right. And the boat gets off. We ain't got to worry about that when we're anchored in Jesus. Amen. That boat never gets off. You're anchored just where you need to be. Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter number 59. I'm going to present to you a very important truth. This is the day and age that we live in today. We reference this regularly around here. Isaiah 59, once you get there, go ahead and stand with me. We'll read one verse, and then we'll pray, and I'll have you seated, and then we'll go back and we'll read quite a bit of the chapter here. Because I want you to see how we got to this position. Isaiah 59, verse number 14. It says, "And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter." Truth is fallen in the street. That's what we're preaching on tonight. Truth is fallen in the street. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for how good you are. We thank you, Lord, that you are our haven of rest. We thank you that we can be anchored in you. Lord, you give us stability. You give us strength. You give us direction. You give us so much. Yes, we understand you give us life, life more abundantly. But all the little things that happen in life, we often forget it all comes from you. Lord, as we preach the Word of God tonight, and your people attentively listen to the Word of God, help us, Lord, to understand the day and age we live in today, people want nothing to do with truth. It is fallen in the streets. Truth should be able to stand on its own. Truth should be ever prevalent. Truth should be paraded everywhere we go. Yet truth has fallen in the streets. Help us, Lord, to understand this and to see how we can mend it and how we can fix it. Bless us, use us. We ask these things in your name and pray. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. Look back at verse number 1. We understand that we live in a day and age today where truth is fallen in the street. We live in a day today where right seems to be called wrong and wrong seems to be called right. And the Bible tells us that we're going to live in that day in the last days. Woe to them that call good evil and evil good. That's what the Bible says. And so we understand that because of the day that we live in and that truth is fallen into the street, according to verse 15, the Bible says, "Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey." The Lord saw it and it pleased him that there was no judgment. Anytime that you depart from evil, you become a target of the devil. It says, "He that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey." You paint a giant target on your back saying, "Here, I'm going to take a stand for truth. I'm going to take a stand for right." And the world doesn't like that. And we immediately begin to get attacked because of it. But how do we get to this point? What happened in the previous verses that led us to this? Go all the way back to verse number 1. I was reviewing this and I was reading over the context of it all. And it never ceases to amaze me how we can't add anything to scriptures. God gives us His truth exactly as He meant for it to be. And I've got a list of things here that we recognize in our day and age. But let's look at what the Bible says here in their day. Verse 1, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy, that it cannot hear." Even though we live in the last days, and even though Christ can come back in any minute, the Bible says that the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save. God can still save souls today. Yes, we may live in a day where they call evil good and they call good evil. We may live in a day where people couldn't recognize truth if it slapped them in the face. We understand that. But God is not limited by man's inability to recognize truth. Okay? God's not limited. His hand is not shortened that it cannot save. His ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. God can still hear the cry of a lost man pleading for repentance. God can still hear the cry of a saved man repenting and getting right with God and getting rid of the sin that divides us from our Father. But notice what he says is his ear is not heavy that he cannot hear. But verse 2 says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. It's not the fact that God can't save. It's not the fact that God can't hear. It's the fact that we've got stuff that's in the way. That's the problem. The problem never lies with God. And in our lives, anytime there's a problem in our life, the problem never stems from God. The problem's always with us. God created man and woman there in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve. Put them in a perfect environment. Put them in an area where they should not have failed at all. And man still found a way to mess it up. So if they can mess up a perfect environment, what makes you think that you're not going to mess up every now and again in your life? We're not going to be perfect. We were never called to be perfect. We were not called unto sinless perfection. Now, every day we ought to try to sin less and less than we did the day before. And we ought to strive for perfection or maturity in the Christian life. Yes, I'm not belittling that at all. But understand, when you mess up, the problem's not God's fault. It never has been, and it never will be. So often we want to blame God, and just like I put there in the pastor's desk, where oftentimes we want to question, God, have you even forgotten about me? What's going on in my life? How did I get to this point? What's happening today? Well, God's hand's not shortened that he can't save. God can still pull you out of the pit that you're in. All right? God's ear's not heavy that he can't hear. God can still hear if we just cry out to him. But the problem is we don't want to confess our sins. That's what it says. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Not that he cannot, he chooses not to. He can do whatever he wants to do, but he will not listen to you when you're living in a life of sin. He refuses to be a part of that. Why? Because he is a holy God, a thrice holy God according to Isaiah. Where the angels cry out, and there are angels in heaven, the seraphims, they got six angels. With twain they cover their face. With twain they do fly. With twain they cover their feet. So they're not going to look upon God, and they're not going to walk in any vain area. And they're going to fly, and all they do is they cry out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. That's their whole job, is to worship God in his holiness. God is too holy to look upon our sin. And so if there's a problem with our relationship with God, the problem doesn't stem from him, it stems from us. All right? We've got to understand that as a foundation. Before we can get to the point to where we get to where truth has fallen in the streets, we've got to understand that all the blame begins with us, not with God. Okay? Because the Bible says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. What did God deliver to us? His word. What did he hand to us generation after generation for us to be able to keep, for us to be able to preserve, for us to be able to give to the next generation? His word. And if his word is truth and truth is fallen in the streets, that means his word has been removed from our lives. Read through the Bible already this year, 6 months in. We got several others that are currently trying to read through the Bible. You know how far removed that is from most Christians' lives? You know how many church members and how many churches don't even encourage their people to read through the Bible, let alone to bring it to church with them? Brother Mr. Robin traveling around, going to church. Can't tell you how many churches people don't even show up with their Bibles. Well, what are they expecting to do while they're there? We're not going to sit there and play games the whole time. We're going to go through the Word of God. We need the Word of God. That's how we're going to get cleaned up. Here, your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Notice why. Verse 3. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. By the way, you study this out? He's talking to the children of Israel. He's talking to his people. So the application can be made by way of applying it to us today. He could be talking to the church at this time. Our sins have hid his face from us. Our hands are defiled with blood. Whose blood's on your hands tonight because we haven't shared the gospel? Whose blood? Notice, your fingers with iniquity. What have we been dabbling in? What have we been touching? By the way, what do you do with your fingers? You play on your phone? Huh? Think about it. Most people get involved in sin because of their cell phone. What are you looking at? What else do you do with your fingers? You type on a keyboard? What are you searching? I'm not stretching the Word of God. The Word of God is given for a reason. Your fingers have led you to iniquity. The things that you are dabbling in, the things that nobody else knows about, the things that you're getting involved in your life. Your lips have spoken lies. How often do we lie to other people? We live one way and then we tell everybody else we're doing this. Are we paying attention? How often do our lips lie? Notice next, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. Now, perverseness is anything that would be crooked or would have a slant on it. How often do you repeat something with an added twist or a slant that gives you an advantage? How often do you bring something up in somebody's life to give you some kind of advantage over them? Your tongue speaking perverseness. Things that should not be uttered. Notice next. Verse 4. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. Here the children of Israel weren't calling for justice. Here the children of Israel weren't even begging for truth. I wonder how many times people show up to church and they're not even interested in the truth. We're just interested in a social gathering. We're just interested in coming together and having a good time. We're just interested in seeing what all everybody's been doing for the week. And we never give heed to the truth of the Word of God. Nor any pleadeth for truth. That's why I thank God for our church. Amen. Our church is built on truth. The Church of the Living God is the pillar and the ground of truth, the Bible says. It is the place where truth is upheld. It is the place where truth is presented. The place where truth is stood upon. Because truth gives us strength. Truth gives us stability. Truth gives us a place to be able to serve. None call for justice, nor any pleaded for truth. They trust vanity and speak lies. The word vanity means emptiness. They trust in emptiness. They trust in all the things in life that will be fleeting and failing. Emptiness. Some trust in their strength. Well, guess what? Your strength's going to fail you one day. Some trust in their knowledge, in their wisdom. Well, guess what? You're going to forget more than you ever know. There's some older ones that are in our church. I guarantee you, young people, they've forgotten more than you've ever learned. Amen. Hey, you're going to get to that point one day if we continue to learn. But we're going to forget a lot of stuff. Our minds will fail us. Other things in life are going to fail. Your motor, your different abilities are going to fail. And people that are trusting in those things, they're trusting in emptiness. Speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. Notice the rest as we read through here. Verse 5. They hatch cockatrice's eggs and weave a spider's web. Something to trap you in, by the way. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the acts of violence is in their hands. Here, people are identified by the things that they do. But the wicked, their works are going to be fleeting. Their works will not cover them. Their works are not going to amount to any form of righteousness because the Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags. That's why when we get saved, God takes our righteousness and removes it and clothes us with the righteousness of Christ. Because our righteousness can't cover anything. But God's righteousness covers everything. Here, the Bible says, verse 7, their feet run to evil. The world today is running quickly to the next new thing, to the next evil thing. They can't get enough of it. And they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their path. How much time today is wasted just by idly watching things? Screen time today on your cell phone or on your tablet or on a video game or on a television. Screen time is at an all-time high today. Every bit of that's wasted time. Wasted. We can take our free time and we can do other things, like put the Word of God in our minds. Or we can just waste it. Waste it away. And we wonder why we don't grow the way we should. Because we're wasting. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So when the word of God is removed, because the Bible says, again, truth has fallen in the street. Sanctify them to the truth. Thy word is truth. When the truth is removed and the truth has fallen into the streets, then my path is empty. I don't have anything for my path. It's nothing but wasting. Notice verse 8, the way of peace they know not, because true peace only comes from God. And the only way we can get God and get peace is the Word of God. And there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. The Bible says that He would make us a plain path. That He would make us a straight path. That's why it's often called the straight and narrow. Here, the wicked, they make a crooked path. They're running this direction, and then they run this direction, and then they run this direction, whatever the new thing is. They don't have any straight direction that they're headed to. They're constantly all over the map. They've made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. You keep trying to keep up with all the things that are new in this world, you'll never find peace. I guarantee you that. The Bible says so right here. You follow the crooked paths and you're not going to find peace, because peace only comes from the Word of God. Verse 9. I love it when the Word of God just lays it all out there for us. Therefore is judgment far from us. Neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold, obscurity. Well, where does the light come from? It comes from the Word of God, the truth. And if truth has fallen in the streets, we're not going to get the light. All right? We wait for light, but behold, obscurity or emptiness, darkness. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. Why? Because we're not allowing the Word of God to light our paths. We're not allowing God's Word to lead us and to guide us. We're trying to follow through with all the things that we want to do, and we're like the blind leading the blind. The Word of God is our truth. It is our compass. It is our roadmap. It is everything that we need in life. Look at the next verse. Verse number 11. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee. Until we get into the Word of God, our transgressions will continue to mount upon each other. Our sins will continue to mount one upon the other. Our transgressions are multiplied before thee. Our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us. And as for our iniquities, we know them. We know what we've done wrong. We know where we went wrong. We know where we dropped the ball. But until the truth is proclaimed, we usually don't want to get right. Until somebody brings the truth up and puts it in our face, then we'll confess. Don't you just love it when your kids, you know what they've done, and you bring them all of the evidence. And they look at you and say, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. They have all the truth, and they still refuse to recognize it. There's a lot of people that way today. We have the truth. We refuse to recognize it. Notice next. The Bible says, our sins testify against us, for our transgressions are with us, for our iniquities we know them. Verse 13, in transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God. Notice, we're the ones that departed, and God didn't leave anywhere. Speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood and judgment. Now because of all this, because we've left, judgment is turned away backward. And justice standeth far off. Let me give you an illustration here. You're going to be justice. You're going to be judgment. You're going to be truth. And you're going to be equity. Okay? I need you to go on the other side of that door. Okay? Just go on the other side of that door. Close the door behind you. Come here. All right. You're going to be truth. You're going to be justice. And you're going to be judgment. Because we've refused to see the truth. Go down that way a little bit. Go down that way. Because we refuse to see the truth, judgment, right here, is turned away backwards. Judgment will not look upon it. Okay? Judgment cannot be done because truth is not recognized. Then justice
standeth afar off. Way over here. Justice is way over here in the corner. Justice cannot be done when judgment is not administered. Okay? You go to a court. There's a trial. There's a case. What are they asking for? They're asking for justice. Well, until there is judgment from the jury and the judge snaps the gavel and gives a judgment, then justice can be done. But because judgment refuses to look on the situation, judgment is not being administered, therefore justice will stand afar off. Are we following? Now, because judgment is not looking upon the situation, justice will stand afar off. You are truth. Truth is fallen in the streets. Truth is just out there. It's nowhere to be found inside where we're at. I'm going to need you to fall in the streets. You're in my path. Streets are going to be out there. Go fall at the back door. Right there. Just fall. Boom. He's dead. Truth. Fallen in the streets. So, judgment refuses to look at the situation. And judgment will not be given. Okay? Because judgment will not be given, justice now is way over here. We live in a world that cries, injustice, injustice, injustice. We want justice for our cause. There'll never be justice because truth has fallen in the streets. Are we listening? Amen. Judgment cannot be done, therefore justice will not be served because truth has been cast out. What did our country do? Took the Bible out of schools? Took prayer out of schools? Removed God from the situation? Took truth and threw it out in the streets. Because of that, judgment cannot be given. Because judgment must begin at the house of God. Judgment comes from the Word of God. The Bible says in Psalms 119, the Word of God is His judgments. It's one of the words given for the Word of God. So judgment cannot be given because truth has fallen in the streets. Because justice will not be given then, justice will stand way over there and justice will never be served. And now we live in a society today where it cries out, I've been wronged. There's injustice. Well, there's injustice because their truth has been removed. And now they're operating according to the truth of their relativity, whatever they think is true. God doesn't operate according to our truth. Now, notice, equity now cannot enter. So, you still in here?
Yeah.
Okay. Equity cannot come into the situation. Another word for equity would be equality or equalness. Or, as some people like to call it, fairness. It cannot enter the situation because truth has fallen in the streets. Because judgment's never done and justice will never be served. Are we listening? This is where we live. This is where we're at. No equity. No justice. No judgment. Why? Because no one wants to recognize truth. And as we as a church, y'all can come back in here. You can come back in here, brother. Hey, equity entered in. Praise God. No, I'm just kidding. Y'all can go sit down. Thank y'all for your help. Equity's removed from the situation because truth has been cast out. We live in a society today that wants to operate based on their own truth. Everybody thinks they have their own truth and their own way of beliefs. God doesn't operate that way. God says because you've taken truth and you have removed truth, then judgment will never be done. And because judgment cannot be done outside of having the truth, justice will never be served and equity can never enter into the situation. Therefore, there will be no fairness. I've been wrong. This isn't fair. Listen, fair is a place where people go to eat cotton candy and ride rides. Right. I'm not a big fan of the word fair, okay, but I understand the need for it. Equity or equality. Is that not a cry of the day? Justice and equality. Removed from the situation. Why? Because there can't be judgment without truth. All right? Now, truth has fallen in the street. What does the Bible then say? Equity cannot enter. Verse 15, yea, truth faileth. God's truth doesn't fail. Man's truth fails. God's truth's still out in the streets. So the truth that man recognizes, their idea of relativity, whatever they think to be true, that fails. It's a moving target. Is that not where we're at today? What was truth 3 weeks ago is no longer truth today. What was truth in the last presidency is no longer truth today. Right? That's the society we live in. Truth faileth. Why? And he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. If somebody calls it out, what happens? There's a target on your back. If somebody declares what is wrong with society and where truth is actually at and the truth that needs to be in society, somebody declares that, they're automatically a target. That's why so many preachers, they want to be people's friends. They don't want a target on their back. They don't want to be ostracized. Hey, why can't we just all get along? Why can't we all just love each other? Because the truth is divisive. That's why. Because in order for judgment to happen, truth must be involved. In order for there to be justice, in order for there to be equity in the situation, there must be truth. As long as truth is absent, there will never be justice. We live in a society today that's crying out, no justice, no peace. Right? Well, you're not going to have either one of those things without the truth of the Word of God. It can be a rallying cry, and it may sound good to protest and to yell that all the day long. But the way to mend that and to have justice and to have peace is you've got to have truth. Not what we think is truth, but what God says is truth. And the Lord saw it displeased him, what? That there was no judgment. So here, the Bible says it displeased God because judgment was turned away backwards. Because he is a just God. Because he is an equitable God. Because he is a truthful and an honest God. And because judgment's not done, then God got ticked off. He was displeased. And the Bible says in 1 Peter, judgment must begin in the house of God. And because the churches are not proclaiming the truth that we have been given, then we see a society that's living the way that it's living. It all goes back to the church. Look at verse 16. And he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. There's a time and a day in the Old Testament where Moses was referenced as standing between the living and the dead. Remember when the serpents came in the wilderness there and there were people that got bit by the serpent, and there were people that were dying, and there were people that were over here living, and the Bible says that Moses stood between the living and the dead. We as God's people are literally standing between the living and the dead today. But sadly, there's no judgment because there's no intercessor. Because there's nobody going to God on behalf of all the people. Begging for God to do something. Why? Because there are no men that are willing to stand in the gap and to stand and preach, thus saith the Lord. The Bible says, therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate. Oh, here we see the armor of God in verse 17. And a helmet of salvation upon his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, to the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. That's the east. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord, notice what he'll do, shall lift up a standard against him. What standard is he going to lift up against them? The Word of God. Amos 7:7 calls it a plumb line that he set before the people. The Bible says back in Isaiah chapter number 53, I believe it is, verse number 10, no, not 53, Isaiah 63, where are we at? 62. Ha ha. Isaiah 62, a couple chapters later. Go through the gates, verse 10. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones. Lift up a standard for the people. Where does that standard come from? It comes from the Word of God. It comes from the truth that the world wants to cast out into the streets. The truth that the church wants to so easily neglect because it can be divisive. The truth that people don't like.
Here we see a problem. The problem is truth has fallen in the streets. The world is backwards today. Evil is good and good is evil. Drunkenness has been identified as alcoholism. They're saying it's a mental illness rather than an actual sin. Fornication has been called common law. And they try to recognize marriage without actually having marriage. People live together and they play house without actually getting married. Idolatry has been called climbing the ladder of success. Sodomy has been called an alternate lifestyle. The murdering of our babies through abortion has been called the right to choice. Laziness has been rewarded by welfare. Divorce has been justified when God calls it a sin and God calls it adultery. As a matter of fact, in this town, I just found out last week, in this town, a man who is very prominent in a church in this town, him and his wife, they just declared they are in an open marriage and invited a third person to come and be with them. They live in a polyamorous situation. And they're actively involved in a church in this town. Truth is falling in the streets. Evolution is being taught as a science. Cross-dressing has been redefined as women's pants and men's kilts. Yes, men's kilts is on the rise. Men wearing skirts is on the rise. I used to work with a guy at Lowe's that came to work one night in a skirt. He called it a kilt. I said, this is sick, and I walked off. Sin is still sin. It doesn't matter how you decorate it. Pornography has been called freedom of expression. AIDS and STDs have been made into medical conditions instead of realizing, according to Romans chapter 1, verse number 27, they are the judgment of God for sexual impurities. But we don't want to recognize truth. And most churches won't proclaim that. Most churches are afraid to say this. Why? Because the truths of the Word of God have been called old-fashioned. Jeremiah 6, verse number 16 says, ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk ye therein. He says, you shall find life and rest. But he says, ask for the old paths. Why do you have to ask for something? Because it's not readily available. You have to ask for the old paths because people don't want to walk in them today. Because people want to follow the new trend. People want to follow what is easy to consume rather than following what is true. Worldly music has been labeled as contemporary Christian music. Acceptance of sinful practices has been called being tolerant in today's society. Pastors are getting divorces and then they're running off to the mission field trying to plant churches while they have disqualified themselves from the ministry. Social media has replaced the party lines and the barbershop gossip. Preaching on sin has been called judgmental. You're just judging. No, we're just preaching the Word of God. And by the way, preaching has been replaced by teaching. Listen, I'm all for teaching. I love to teach. But there's a time where a man of God's got to grab a pulpit and got to say, this is what God says, and this is the end of it, this is the end result, and we've got to get right, or God's judgment's going to come on our lives. We've got to be able to do that. Why? Because judgment must begin at the house of God. In order for judgment to start, in order for judgment not to be turned around backwards, truth has to be involved. Truth has to be brought. By the way, listen. Why do you think in Revelation chapter 3, verse number 20, Jesus Christ said, behold, I stand at the door and knock? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's on the outside of the church, knocking, trying to get into the church, because truth has been cast out. And we know that's a sign of the day that we live in. Truth has fallen in the streets. To call sin what it is, and to name names has been called being hateful and being bigoted. Having standards and having convictions today has been called being legalistic. There's one thing that hasn't changed, though. Politics has lived up to his name. Poly means many, and tix means blood-sucking creatures. But this is the problem. Truth has fallen in the streets. It's not because God put it there. It's because we have walked away from God. It's because we have chosen. Are you listening? Hey, Gary, pay attention. All right? I'm giving you something to help your life.
is because we have refused to recognize truth. And because of that, it's do as you will, live as you please. Nobody's going to say anything to you about it. Well, that's not true. Because God's going to say something about it. His judgment will come. What must we do now? We know what the problem is. By the way, the problem's not new. This is something that was going on in Isaiah's day. Truth being in the street, judgment being turned around backwards, justice standing afar off, equity not even being able to come into the situation because there's no truth. This is nothing new. But what are we to do? Let me give you the solution. There's three things that we ought to do. That was all introduction. I'll preach fast, don't worry. Number one, we are to declare the truth. In order to get truth back to where it should be, in order for truth to be proclaimed from the pulpits of America, in order for truth to be back in the lives of God's people, then we must declare the truth. As painful as it may be, as difficult many times as it may be to have to stand alone as you're standing for right, as difficult, man, as it may be to lead your family to serve God and to lead your children in the right direction, we must take a stand for truth. We've got to declare the truth. The Bible says in John chapter 8, verse number 32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." When we take the truth of the Word of God, listen, you want to live a free life? Free from the pressures of sin? You want to live a life that's free from the bondage of sin? You want to live a life where you have rest and peace for your souls? You've got to get in the truth. The truth shall make you free. That's what the Bible says, Romans 8:32. "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." By the way, you'll never know the truth if we don't get into the Word of God. Okay? We've got to know the truth. Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 23 says, "Buy the truth and sell it not." Understand today, the truth is not for sale. The truth is not for hire to the largest bidder or even to the largest tither in the church. The truth is found in the Word of God, and the truth will be preached from the pulpit. And as we proclaim the truth of the Word of God, we will not sell out to those that want to try to buy something else. Buy the truth and sell it not, the Bible says. The truth is found in the Word of God. If somebody doesn't like it, they can lump it. God's right and we are wrong. Our opinions don't matter. What we think is not brought into the scenario. Truth is not up for debate. The truth is not based upon our opinions, and just because we do not like it does not make it any less true. Catch that. Just because we don't like it doesn't make it any less true. Sometimes truth is a hard pill to swallow. How many of you ever watched a goat eat something? You take a goat, and goats, they will eat absolutely everything. I don't know how they do it, but they do. They find a way. You take a goat, and a goat starts eating on a sticker bush. They begin to eat on that thing, and they can't fit it in because they're going to get stabbed. You know what they'll do? They'll spit the thing out, and they'll turn the thing around, and they'll eat it backwards so they don't get stuck by it. You know what that tells me? That tells me they find a new way to swallow it. Sometimes when you can't swallow the truth, guess what? You need to find a new way to swallow it. You need to work harder at trying to swallow the truth. Listen, I don't always like the truths that God gives me, but guess what? I need to learn how to swallow them. Some pills are a little bit more difficult to swallow than other pills. Some pills take a little bit more time to adjust to. Some truths are sometimes a little bit more difficult to swallow, but it doesn't make them any less true. There's still truths that I need in my life. And I've got to be able to take them. The Bible says back in Isaiah chapter 58, right before this chapter, verse number 1, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins." People come to church and say, "I just don't like a preacher that's going to preach on sin." Well, the Bible says that we're to show people their transgressions. It doesn't matter if somebody likes it or not. We're to preach the Word of God. Cry aloud and spare not. Well, the Bible says also, when it comes to discipline, When you're disciplining your children, the book of Proverbs, it says, spare not for his crying, he shall not surely die. Just because some things may be difficult doesn't mean you need to stop doing them. Are you listening? Sometimes when you do right, it's going to be difficult in the initial beginning of it because you are changing your lifestyle. Because you are changing what you know. Because you are retraining your brain to operate differently now that you have the truth. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, the Bible says. And as that happens, it's not always fun. Sometimes it's difficult. But we must declare the truth. Secondly, in order for truth not to be fallen in the streets, not only must we declare the truth, you can come on back in. Secondly, we must denounce what is not truth. You see, when it comes between your opinion and the Word of God, God is always right. Settle that in your heart and settle it in your mind right now. When it comes between your opinion and what God says, God is always right. Let God be true and every man a liar. The Bible tells us, when a man and woman are shacked up together, it is not common law, it is fornication. The Bible tells us that abortion is murder. Hands that shed innocent blood. What's more innocent than a baby that can't talk? What's more innocent than a baby that can't make a choice? It is not choice. He said, I just think a mother ought to have a choice. She did have a choice. Amen. I'll just leave that right there for you adults. She did have a choice. And people want to say, well, what about in cases of rape? Listen, less than 1% of abortions are for cases of rape. So don't even bring that up. It's not even in the equation. People abort babies out of convenience because they don't want to own up and be a mother or a father because their life will totally change and now they have responsibilities. Well, they should have thought about that earlier. Evolution is still a false religion, regardless of what science says. Looking at pornography and lusting after other women is still considered adultery. Fantasizing about another man, woman, just because of your romance novels or your Hallmark movies is still adultery. Amen. If it's adultery for one, it's adultery for the other. Amen. The television is still a gateway to hell. Listen, I remember growing up and hearing some hard preaching. I remember going to a preacher's meeting one time, and Brother Larry Brown was preaching. It was at pastor school one year up in Hammond, Indiana. And I remember he had a television on the platform. Were you there for that? It may have been youth conference then. It may not have been pastor school. Maybe youth conference. He had a television on the platform. He took a baseball bat, and he beat the living devil out of that television screen. Glass was flying everywhere. Smoke was flying because it was the old tube television. He took a baseball, wah, pow, just beat the devil out of that thing. Why do I remember that? Because he was preaching against the vices that are on the television set. We live in a society today where most young people have never heard preaching on certain television shows. We go to church camp and some of these kids hear hard preaching for the first time ever in their life. We go to youth conference and the kids hear hard preaching. It's nothing new to our kids. They've heard it before. My brother Thoreau, he's a pastor. They've heard it before. There's nothing new around here. We go to a youth conference and some of these kids, their eyes are wide open, their mouths drop. He says something. He should say that. Oh yeah, he just said that. Our kids are just sitting there taking notes and paying attention. It's nothing new. They're used to hard preaching. But we live in a day and age today where most people, they scoff at the idea of what's being preached tonight. The television is still a gateway to hell. Unlimited access for your children to the internet through their cell phone and through their video games is still completely insane. Amen. It's still completely insane. How mindless can we be as adults to give children complete access? I was talking to somebody just this morning and they said their child's phone got taken away because their child put a lock on it. My parent didn't have the passcode. Well, praise God. Amen. Kudos to the parent for doing that. Next step is smash that sucker. Praise the Lord. Today, They want to teach children about sex education in schools all the way down to kindergarten. You realize that's a form of child abuse. There are things that child should not know until they come of age. We ought to protect them and give them naivety. That is child abuse. Regardless of what the world may try to spin. By the way, trusting in anything or anyone other than Jesus Christ for salvation will send somebody to hell. Most churches don't preach that anymore. They'll say Jesus is a way, but they won't say Jesus Christ is the way. They'll talk about a generic salvation, but when they start putting Jesus' name to things, people start getting offended. They get a little antsy. You see, if we're gonna fix the situation, we must declare the truth. And secondly, we must denounce what is not truth. Because anytime you declare the truth, you've also got to explain what is not truth. Because we've been so programmed by this world to think that our truth is okay. And then lastly, thirdly, you must demonstrate then a life of truth. You see, this Bible, this book, I think it's Brother Billy Sunday used to say, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. When we're living in sin and we're doing what we want to do rather than what God's commanded us to do, then we don't want to read the Bible. Right. We don't want to pray because we already know what God's going to say. And we must demonstrate a life of truth. Listen, if we're going to bring truth in from off the streets, if we're going to take and come out here and we're going to take truth and bring it from where it was fallen in the streets, if we're going to bring it back into the church house, then we must declare the truth. We must denounce what is not truth. But we must, as children of God, we must demonstrate a life of truth. People ought to be able to know that when they look at a child of God and when they look at somebody that goes to Cornerstone Baptist Church, that there's somebody who's a genuine and a real Christian. We talked about it this morning. So much of the young people today, so many of them, want nothing to do with God because of the hypocrisy that they've seen in churches. Understand. I'll make the statement. You get offended? It is what it is. I'm trying to help you though, okay? I love you, that's why I'm saying it. Don't get upset with your child and label them as a rebel when you've been nothing but a hypocrite to them. And then they want nothing to do with Christianity. Are you listening? We're quick to label our kids as rebels and as somebody who's running from the truth when we ourselves have been a hypocrite and we've never shown them consistent Christianity. And then we wonder why they want nothing to do with church. But, young people, that's not a blanket get out of jail free card for you either. You awake? That's not a blanket get out of jail free card. Just because somebody's not been consistent does not justify you running from God. Because you know the truth. Even if you never see the truth demonstrated, you know the truth. Amen. And we've got a responsibility to do the truth. To demonstrate a life of truth. We want to, listen, we live in a day and age where we want to play the blame game. We want to blame everybody else for why things have gone wrong in our lives. I want to blame somebody else for why my kids didn't turn out right. I want to blame my parents for why I didn't turn out right. I want to just blame everybody else instead of taking personal responsibility for the truth that I was given. We've been given truth. We must demonstrate a life of truth. I wonder, have we showed truth to anyone lately? When was the last time we went soul winning? When was the last time we took out a track and we showed somebody the truth of the Word of God and showed somebody how they can trust Christ as their personal Savior? By the way, if you're going to declare truth, you've got to declare Jesus Christ. He says, I am the way, the truth, the life. He's truth. I wonder, maybe it is we don't share the truth of the Word of God with others because we're afraid we might run into somebody out door knocking that knows the real us. And we've lived a hypocritical lifestyle and we just don't want others to know about it. And we know our friends, our family, they won't come to church because they've never seen a change in us. They've never seen the truth demonstrated in our lives. Truth has fallen in the streets today. But
we can get it back. Because judgment must begin in the house of God. If we want to turn the world upside down for Christ, it is going to start with God's people allowing the truth of the Word of God to turn each one of us upside down. The only way we will turn our world upside down is when we allow God's truth from the Word of God to turn our personal world upside down. And then our physical world will follow suit. You see, you get the truth of the Word of God in your life, and you allow this Bible to change you from the inside out. You allow the Word of God to be consumed by your person and by your being, and you allow the Word of God to change your dress. You allow the Word of God to change your speech. You allow the Word of God to change your music. You allow the Word of God to change everything that you do. And I guarantee you, your world will change. Your personal world will change. And then others around you will see the change that's taken place. And guess what? They'll see some genuineness. They'll see some real truth being demonstrated in your life. And because of that, you'll begin to have visitors come into church. They'll begin to want what you have. They'll begin to see a change that's nowhere found in this world, but can only be found because of the truth of the Word of God in our lives. Truth has fallen in the streets. Judgment's turned away backwards. Justice is standing afar off. Equity won't even enter into the situation. The only way we fix that is we've got to do our parts. God's not the one that left. It's us. God's hand is not shortened that He cannot save. His ear is not heavy that He cannot hear. God can still work. The problem's us. The problem's always us. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is still in the Bible. Revival can still happen. The question is, what are we going to do with the truth? It must be declared. We must denounce what is not truth. And then every waking moment, we must demonstrate a life of truth. We must allow the Word of God to change us to the point to where it makes such a difference and such a phenomenal change in our lives that everybody we come in contact with that remembers what we used to be now sees a change, and they see somebody that is fully consumed with truth. And they'll begin to want what you have. They'll begin to want that truth. And they'll think, wow, if God's doing something in that person's life, then what could God do with me? By the way, that may scare some people. And some people may not come just simply because they're scared of that. But there's people today, I believe with everything inside of me, I believe there's people today that are still seeking for truth. I believe it. If it were not true, Christ would have already come back. But He's left us here to fulfill His will and to do His work. Which means there are people out there that we've got to go and find that are looking for genuine Christianity today. We've got to show them. We've got to display it. Stand with me with heads bowed and eyes closed. Truth today has fallen in the streets. But that should not be the case in our lives. As a born-again child of God, truth should be ever-present and available in your life. It ought to be shown forth in everything that you do and everywhere you go. The world may not understand why you do the things you do. They may not agree with the standards and convictions that you have, but if those are based on the truth of the Word of God and not based on your own opinion, then those things will last a lifetime if you allow it to, if you allow the truth to change you. The question tonight, with heads bowed and eyes closed, is what are you going to do with the truth?